On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, and here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
Pounding the world like a battering ram.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Hard Rocking Trivia Show. Time for another bit we like to call rapid fire, where we try to stump each other with some trivia questions. I know you listeners have been playing with us for a very long time, so play along, see if you can go 6 for 6.
All right, and just remember, we are recording this November 1st, Monday night, and we're putting it out the same day.
So this same day.
Fresh content. All right. So play along, see if you can go 6 for 6. I don't know. We'll see.
That's right. Well, let's see. I don't think these are too hard for you this time, but we'll see.
All right.
They're pretty hard if you don't know the answer, so.
Don't feel like a fool.
All right, here you go. Who is the longest tenured guitarist in Alcatraz?
Okay. So let me think. We had Yngwie. We had Steve Vai. I think there was a guy named Danny Johnson in there. And there's Joe Stump right now. So
Joe Stump is right now, yep.
So my guess is probably going to be Joe Stump.
That is incorrect. You forgot Howie Simon.
Oh, I forgot. I didn't know Howie Simon was in.
Yeah, he was in there 9 years.
Wow, I did not know. He's a guy who pops around. In fact, when I saw Jason Buehler, Howie Simon got on stage and played with him.
Yeah.
And
he was in bands with Jeff Scott Soto also.
And he also, when Winger played that Monsters on the Mountain, he subbed in for John Roth and Winger. So the guy must be pretty good if he's just sitting in on all these different bands.
Yeah, the guy does not suck at all. So, yeah, he's the longest tenured guy in Alcatraz. He's not in there now, of course, but he was in there for quite a while.
But I tell you what, I had my iPod on shuffle, and one of those new Alcatraz songs came up. And that Joe Stump guy, he can do Yngwie, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
So if you like the Alcatraz, the Yngwie flavor, this Joe Stump, who I've heard of, but I never really heard before, he can play. But, you know, what's worse is I got that question wrong. So I'm now 0 for 1.
Yeah, so that's the worst part of this whole thing. Yeah. So
I'm going to give you a question, damn it. Here we go. Question number one. Name 5 artists that bass player Jimmy Bain has played with, either live or in recorded. He's played with a lot of people, but just give me 5.
Just 5.
Jimmy Bain.
All right. I know he's played with Gary Moore.
Yep, that's 1.
He played with Ozzy.
Did he?
I thought he did.
No, you got the wrong. You're thinking of somebody else. I don't have him down as being with Ozzy.
Okay. Let's see. Jimmy Bain. He played with Rainbow.
That's 2.
Oh, he played with Dio.
That's 3. What was the last band he played in?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
You got 3 out of 5 so far.
3 out of 5, man.
You give up? I'll start giving you hints.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yes, you said he played in Dio, correct. How about those 3 Dio guys went and formed a band and released 2 albums? The last band he was in.
Oh, the last in line?
Yep, that's 4 and 1 more. He's played with members of Thin Lizzy, UFO. He's played on 2 solo albums from a Thin Lizzy member. And he did play on Gary Moore's Dirty Fingers album. So you got 1 more.
Oh, man. Jimmy Bain. Oh, shoot. I don't know.
All right. He played in Wild Horses with Brian Robertson.
Right.
And Neil Carter from UFO. And he played on both Phil Lynott solo albums.
Really?
Yep. So we're both 0-1.
0-1. Damn it.
We stink this week.
Oh, man. Here we go with question number two for you. Here's another list. You gave me one. I'll give you one.
Thanks.
Who has sung lead vocals for King Cobra? And there are five of them.
Oh, my God. Well, King Cobra, that's going to be a different. There is, oh, my God, I'm blanking on the first guy who's now a chick, but he used to be a dude. Oh, Mark. What's his name? Oh, crap.
What's now Mars?
Oh, Mark Free is one, yep. Who's now Marcy Free. Mark Torian sang with them.
Yep.
Johnny Edwards, who was later in Foreigner, sang with them. That's three. I don't think I know five. Guy from Rough Cut. Why am I blanking? Paul Sortino sang with King. Now, I know that's four of them, and there's a fifth, huh? Wow, I don't
know. Yep, there's one more that was in there very briefly.
And I have no idea, so I'm going to take a wild stab. Was it Ralph Sands from Steel Panther?
No, it was not.
Oh, so who was it?
It was Kelly Keeling.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that guy was in Baton Rouge and sang with a bunch of other people. I think he maybe sang with Michael Schenker.
Yeah, he did.
And Blue Murder, actually. He was supposed to be. Okay, but. Well, I choked on that one. Good question.
Yeah, you're 0-2.
Good question. Man. All right, so here's yours.
All right.
Same time frame, type of music. Okay. And on November 26, 1983, Quiet Riot's Mental Health became the first metal album to go number one on the U.S. Billboard charts. In that same week, can you give me the next hard rock or metal band on the chart after Quiet Riot? Just think.
In 83?
November 83, and it's a big band, too.
I'm going to go 83. See, I was a junior in high school.
And that's when MTV just blew up, so we saw all kinds of videos by bands similar.
Was it, 83.
And I believe we went to the tour. I'm pretty sure.
Was it Van Halen?
Incorrect.
Dang.
It was Def Leppard's Pyromania was number 11 that week.
Man.
But, you know, it could have been Van Halen to, you know, as well. It would have been Diver Down in 83, right? Yep. Right. Diver Down, and then 1984 was coming right out.
Yeah.
So, or 0-4.
Yeah, I mean, definitely saw that tour. I saw them, I think I saw them in Lexington, Kentucky with Crocus and Gary Moore.
You saw him with me, with Gary Moore and Crocus at the Cap Center.
Well, I saw him again later with my brother in Lexington. Wow. Same tour.
Wow. Because I remember you and I have our jaws hitting the ground after listening to Gary Moore play.
Oh, yeah. We were like, what? Who? What?
Who is this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Our minds were blown.
We only knew that.
Yeah. Well, at least we got to see him on a big stage playing that kind of music.
Exactly. I still would like to have seen him play the blues stuff too, but
I did. Universal Amphitheater. He sold out the Universal Amphitheater and played the blues stuff. And I'm talking to the people in the crowd, and none of those freaking people knew that he had a rock background. They just knew, still got the blues and bought the tickets, and, oh, I like this song. And they had no idea who he was.
Never knew he was in Thin Lizzy.
Nothing.
Oh, geez.
And that's the only time he played a big place. Headlining, that was it,
man.
Because all the other times I saw him, it was in a club. I saw him play in the Roxy. I saw him play in Washington D.C. I think it's the 9:30 Club, or it's one, or is it the other one? There was another. Wasn't there the Bayou? Wasn't it?
There's a bunch.
Yeah,
there's a bunch in D.C.
So I got to see him quite a bit. All right, next question. We're over 4 right now.
Man, we are sucking bad. Jeez. All right, your question. Where was Thin Lizzy's final show with Phil Lynott?
You think you've asked me this before. It was in Germany, wasn't it?
No.
It wasn't in Nuremberg, Germany?
No.
So I'm not going to guess that then. Okay. I'm going to say, was it in the UK?
Yes.
Was it in London?
I don't think so.
Well, UK, isn't that close enough?
No, it's, I want the name of the.
You want the name of the venue? I'm going to say.
No, it's.
All right.
It's a big show, like a multi-day show.
Oh, was it a Castle Donington Monsters of Rock?
I'm going to go ahead and say no, you got this question wrong because you've been guessing all around it.
Oh.
It's the Reading Festival.
Reading Festival, yeah.
Reading, whatever. It's August of 1983.
Well, whatever. I still got it wrong. Wow, 0 for 3. I haven't gotten 0 for 3 in a while. Okay, yeah. Well.
I upped my game this week.
Yeah, you did. Okay, your question, if you get it right, will produce a victory for you and America.
So let's America.
And America. So let's make America great again. Okay, here we go. Question 3 for you. What was John Sykes' biggest U.S. single success on the charts? And John Sykes has been in quite a few bands. What song did he co-write that went number 2 in the U.S.? It was his biggest song. And everybody knows it, but they just may not know.
I'm going to say Still of the Night.
Still of the Night as a single? Are you sure? You are incorrect.
Damn it.
Still of the Night? No. But right band, it was Whitesnake, Is This Love?
Really?
Yep. Most people don't know it's John Sykes wrote that song and played on it.
Well, I figured he probably had a hand in writing most of the stuff he played on that album.
According to John Sykes, he wrote 75% of that album.
No doubt.
And Coverdale just did the vocals.
Yeah.
And did most of the words. But it's mostly Sykes, all his music. So, yep. So we went 0 for 6. Did anybody get these right? And I don't think these were that hard.
No, they really weren't, but I guess, damn.
And there weren't any questions about, like, some obscure bands like Vendetta or something like that, or Blind Date.
Or anything from Canada.
Right. No Canadian content this week, I believe. But yet, you never know. Some might pop up later on.
All right.
All right, so 0 for 6. Wow.
Messages if you got... If you got better than 3 out of 6, you got to let us know.
Yeah, because we just embarrassed ourselves in podcast land here.
Or did we do it on purpose?
No, we're not that smart. No, we're not calculated or that smart. Sometimes we get them. Maybe we're just getting old.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Now, all right. We did pretty good, so let's give them a commercial now.
For it is a human number. Its number... is 6.
Okay, everybody. Time for a little 6 and 30 where we put together 6 5-second clips of songs and you got to guess. I guess we got in this one, I'm just going to have you guess the artist because these songs would be tough.
Oh, God. So you gave me a tough one this week, huh?
Well, I don't know. You'll get at least 4 out of these, I think.
Okay.
But
let me get my pencil ready.
The theme to this, all the songs have the word green in the title.
Green song. Okay.
Green songs.
That's weird. Okay, green songs. Okay, let me...
Go ahead and play the file I sent you.
Okay, here we go. I've not heard this. We don't cheat.
No,
we're too.
What's be the point of that?
Yeah, when I'm hearing this, you're hearing it. Okay, here we go. Let's see what we got here. Green songs.
Anybody searching for action? Anything to feel the emptiness inside?
Ooh, we had a wide range there. So three of them I got right away.
I would hope so.
But three of them, I'm like, oh, I don't know who the hell that is.
You get five. If you get five or six, I'll be shocked. But yeah. I've been shocked before, so.
Okay, well, let's play this again for you out there and for me especially. All right. See if I can get six out of six. I don't think it's happening this week. Here we go.
Anybody searching for action? Anything to fill the emptiness inside? Grass is greener on the other side.
Welcome to the grave.
All right. Okay. I definitely I am not getting six for six in this one. All right. Song
You're
going to
be shocked
one.
At some of these, I think.
Okay. Song one, I knew right away. That is Green Tinted 60s Mind by Mr. Big.
Oh, yeah. One of the greatest intros ever.
Yes. Awesome. Number two was Judas Priest, The Green Manalish. Okay, those are the easy ones. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Number three, I think the song is Green Onions. Am I right?
Yes, that is correct.
But who it is another whole thing. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm going to say Country Joe and the Fish.
Oh, it's not too far off. But it's Booker T and the MGs.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah, that's like their only big song.
But I know of that band, but I'm just not a big fan. So I got that one wrong for sure. Number four, I don't know the song, but I think it's Megadeth.
Correct. The song is called Agent Green off United Abominations.
Okay. Yeah, I got the voice of Dave Mustaine. Yeah. That's why I got it. Okay, number five is going to be a total guess. I'm going to say that's Ty Kettle.
That is incorrect. No.
Am I going to kick myself? Who is it?
This is a band that you love a lot, and you've seen them recently with a certainly not the original lineup, but you've seen them not too long.
Kingdom Come?
No, before that.
The Babies?
Not New England.
Sweet Angel?
No.
Who is? I don't know who it is.
It's The Babies.
The Babies, really?
Yep.
What song?
The song is called Grass is Greener. It's off their anthology.
Oh, is it the newer version of the Babies? That's why I didn't get it. Damn you.
It's definitely not the original lineup, but.
Though the new Babies is pretty decent, but yeah, I would have never got that in 100,000 years.
Yeah, it's not John Waite, so.
I forgot the guy's name, but yeah, he's good. All right, number six is Kicks. Red Light,
that's
Green Light,
right.
TNT. So. I got four out of six.
Four out of six. All right. That's respectable.
Yeah. I think you're going to get more than four out of six with this batch of songs I'm sending your way in 6 and 30. Right. All right. My theme is songs that from artists that made the top 100 albums in 1981. They're all rock bands, but the songs I chose were not the singles. So... And I think I saw every one of these bands in either 81 or 82 at the Cap Center or at Meriwether Post. So they're pretty big bands in 1981, but not the singles.
81. So I probably went to the majority of these with you.
More than likely.
Yeah. All right. Let's listen to this.
All right.
Another cigarette over here.
Sail away, sweet sister. Sail across the sea. No time can live without you.
I saw Danny's pencil moving really quick on a couple of those.
Jesus Christ.
And there was a couple of them where he just went, huh? The pencil was not moving.
Face was screwed up and deep thought.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely got three of them. I'm going to have to listen to that again. Oh, jeez.
Okay.
All right.
Another cigarette over here.
Sail away, sweet sister. Sail across the sea.
Sometimes I can't live without you.
Wow.
Okay. Well, what? Right.
Well, I know three of them. One of them, I have a guess. And the other two, no clue.
All right. So what is number one?
Oh, number one is what I don't know.
That would be... We saw the tour, and you're going to kill yourself. We saw the tour with Iron Maiden opening.
Iron Maiden opening?
Opening for this band I just played.
Judas Priest?
That's Judas Priest Turning in Circles.
Ugh.
Off a Point of Entry. We saw that tour. Wow, I'm surprised you missed that one.
Yeah, really. Well, that's not a very well-known song.
No, that's why I did this. I didn't want to put the... If I had put the well-known songs, you got six for six. Easy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, number two is REO Speedwagon.
Right. You can't... Yeah, that's Tough Guys.
Yeah.
From High Infidelity.
Number three, is that the Cars?
That would be incorrect.
Dang it.
The name of the song is I'm Gonna Win. I saw this tour at the Cap Center for sure. And the name of the band is Foreigner. The Foreigner 4 album. Wow.
I went with you to that.
Yeah.
Oh, great tour with all the keyboards lined up across the back of the stage. Really cool. Really cool.
So you're...
Didn't Billy Squire open for it?
God, you know what? I totally forgot who opened for Foreigner on that 4 tour. They were great.
I thought it was Billy Squire.
You could be right because I saw Billy Squire a couple of times.
Yeah.
I saw him over Queen as well. All right.
All right. Number four is definitely Van Halen. One of my favorite songs.
Yep. Push Comes to Shove. Yes, off of Fair Warning. All right. Number five.
Number five, I don't have a clue.
Woo.
It sounds very familiar, so I'm going to be pissed. But
you are, because that was a big album. The album is called The Game.
Oh, that's Queen?
That's Queen. I picked a Brian May vocal. Instead of Freddie Mercury. So, ooh, you've only gotten two.
Three. Two so far. And the next one sticks. I know that.
Yeah, so. Snowblind. So you went three for six.
You went four for six. Damn it.
Yeah, I thought for sure you were going to get like five out of six on this one.
Well, but, if you picked a little bit more common songs, maybe.
Well, that's not any fun, is it?
No, I would have done the same thing, so there you go.
Yeah, it's got to be a challenge for the people out there. We don't want to make it too easy.
Yeah, really.
We got to keep our core audience with us.
Can you? Yeah, that's Crazy Little Thing Called Love. Can you get that one?
Yeah. Yeah, people just unsubscribing.
Really? This is for babies.
Oh, not the babies. Actual babies. Yeah.
Not the babies with John Wade, anyway.
Yeah. In fact, I was supposed to see John Wade on Friday, and I totally forgot. My wife and I was Friday. We were tired. She got home from work, and when I was laying in bed about 10 o'clock, went, wait a second, we forgot to go see John Wade. Oh, we blew it.
Damn.
So much for date night out the window.
Well, I'm going to see Louis C.K. tomorrow.
Cool. Yeah. I like Louis C.K.
Yeah, he's funny.
Hey, and maybe you'll see some protesters.
Hey.
Which is the studio. All these people canceled him. And I mean, he didn't do that much. Compared to what some of these other knuckleheads have been doing, his was minor.
Yeah.
So
I'm playing with himself. I'm working the show. I'm bartending that night. So I'll be done and go in and watch for a half hour or so and head out.
Yeah, smart guy. I like him.
Oh yeah,
and some good shows too. I think he's doing just fine without the TV stuff, because all the people who like him are going out and seeing him. So,
oh yeah, he's doing all right.
And how big is the venue you work at?
The 1200.
So 1200, is it sold out?
Probably. I don't know for sure, but it probably is.
Okay.
The comedy shows do really well around here.
Oh, outstanding. Wish I was going.
Yeah, well, too bad.
All right, okay. Well, fine, terrific. So right
now, I am in another 2 weeks, I'm going to go see Storm Large. You know who she is?
I know exactly who she is. My wife, in fact, is a big fan. She's read her book.
Yeah.
And she saw her live in a small club in Seattle. That woman can sing.
Oh, my God. I saw her a few years ago with Pink Martini, kind of a big band kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
By far the sexiest show I've ever seen. And it wasn't like vulgar or anything like that. It was just really, really sexy. And it was like, oh, man, she is awesome. So she's working, or she's playing at a place called the Baby Grand, which holds about 300.
Wow, I'm surprised she's touring around near that neck of the woods. But yeah.
Yep.
She never quite made it big. She was on that show to join NXS.
Yeah.
She finished, I think, third or fourth. Yeah, but her and Delana, I think, finished second. But she can sing her butt off, too. I've seen her. But yeah, Storm Large is the real deal.
Oh, man, she is so good.
And she should be much bigger than she is.
Totally. I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure it's all political or something, but she should be huge because she is so good.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but you know who she is, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah. I really didn't know anything about her until I worked the show for Pink Martini. And then I go in and I see this woman singing. And I'm like, holy shit, who is this? And I started looking it up. It's Storm Large, and I started researching her a little bit. I was like, man, no wonder she's so good.
Yeah.
When I saw she was coming to the Grand, I was like, oh, man, I'm definitely working that show.
Are you going to bring the wife? Is she going to go?
I don't know. Maybe.
She should. She'd probably love it.
Oh, yeah.
If my wife loves it, and your wife's going to really love it.
Oh, yeah. I was able to get a front row seat for my wife for Pat Benatar. When it was just her and Neil Giraldo, just the two of them.
Oh, doing acoustic stuff?
Kinda. He was playing his acoustic electric, and he had everything was sampled and stuff. So, like, there were some drums on some songs. Others, he did totally acoustic with her singing. And that woman can still sing her ass off. It's unreal.
And she should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No question.
Yeah, she's a monster. She's great.
No question. Way, way ahead of the Go-Go's.
Yeah, even though it's good, I'm glad the Go-Go's went in. Pat Benatar was bigger and a better singer.
Yeah, there should be no question Pat Benatar should be in there. I mean, she's one of the female pioneers, man. Her and Hart and Stevie Nicks. And I am glad that Tina Turner got in because she's one of the others. But still,
yeah,
Pat Benatar should be in there.
And when I was doing some research for that for this bit, I looked up the top 100 albums. From 1981, Pat Benatar had three of them. So she's just hitting all. Yeah, her first three albums were in the top 100 for that year.
Jeez.
Yeah, she was a monster, and all the.
And she's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Can't imagine.
You know what it is about her? Is she never played the game? She they wanted her to be super sexy and have this image, and she went against it. And she did the Get Nervous album cover when she just. Blew her hair out and didn't do the whole act. She was all more about the singing and the songs than to what she looked like.
The songs and the voice, that's what she was all about. And that's what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame should be about. You and I should be running that place.
Yeah, you keep saying that, and I keep agreeing with you, but it's not going to happen, Danny. Sorry.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to quit my day job.
Yeah, okay. And we have one more bit for you guys out there. And this is one that Danny came up with. It's a track-by-track battle.
And it's been stolen by I don't know how many other podcasts and people out there.
People on YouTube, and they do it, but we're the originators, and we have a different little spin on it. So,
That we're bitter or anything.
No, we're not. Not really. In the grand scheme of life, nah, not at all. It's flattery. But what did you pick this week?
All right, this week, well, the bit's called Track by Track Battle, so we take two albums, whether they are by the same artist or similar in some way, maybe some two different bands' debut albums or the number one albums from two decades apart or whatever. In this case, I picked two albums by the band Jellyfish, which if you don't know who Jellyfish is, shame on you. You need to be beaten with a wet noodle because they are amazing. So you talk to other people who they'll say, oh, yeah, I love Jellyfish. Oh, yeah, Jellyfish is great. But they never made it big. But they're influential all over the place. So,
yeah, so just to give some statistics on these Jellyfish albums, because Danny and I, we became fans after the band broke up.
Oh, yeah.
So the Belly Button album was released in July 17th, 1990. It only peaked at number 124 on the album charts. And they opened for Alanis Morissette when she had that monster album. So they had a push. They were on MTV. They were on Much Music in Canada, but only got to 124. And then their follow-up album, which was Spilt Milk, was released February 9th, 1993. That one peaked at number 164, which is a blip on the radar. But interesting enough, the album charted at 21 in the UK.
So, well, yeah, because they're awesome, and they are very highly regarded by the media and the reviewers and press and all that, but people just didn't buy it. I don't know what the deal is, because both of these albums, this was one of the hardest track-by-tracks we've had to do.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was these guys were a power pop band, and at the time, it was all about grunge and I hate myself, stare at my shoes, and these guys were an upbeat power pop band. But if you really dig into the lyrics, they're not as upbeat as you'd believe. Some of them are downright depressing.
Listen to the lyrics for Joining a Fan Club. It's like it's all happy and poppy, and then you go into the lyrics and you realize, oh man, this is like worshiping a complete failure.
Yeah.
Is all what all this is about. It's awesome.
And that's one of the happier tunes.
Yeah. That's the happy upbeat. Hey, yeah.
But, the three of these guys are now in the Licorice Quartet, which we highly recommend. And, yes, we know this is not hard rocking at all. And if you're not familiar, just listen to the bit, because we're gonna put in sound clips from all these songs so you can get a taste of it. If it piques your interest just a little bit, go out and listen to it on Spotify. And if you like it, go buy it on Amazon, okay? This is some quality stuff. And, yeah, Danny's right. When I was going song by song, I'm like, damn, I like both these songs a lot. Which one do I like better? So, excuse me. So basically,
and it was funny because when I first introduced it to Mark that we were doing these two songs, we had the running order a little bit different. I considered Hush, which is kind of an intro on Belly Button. It's kind of an intro to the next song. So Mark came back and said, let's make that the first, you know, the intro to the first song and include that as one. And so it kind of messed up the order. And I was like, oh, I have to totally redo this because this is...
Oh, it's my fault now.
It's crazy. What's that?
It's my fault now.
Well, yeah.
Well,
I'm just pointing out that it's really weird that you move one song either or move an album listing one way or the other can totally screw up how you would rank an album versus another one.
Yeah, but Hush is really not a song. It's
no.
It's an intro. So we on Belly Button, we put a bonus track at the end. So we got 11 tracks for both. So, and when we agree on something, then we give it a point for that particular album. I mean, I think I know which album I like better offhand. But when you go track by track, sometimes that changes.
Oh, yeah. If you had asked me, I mean, Spilt Milk was supposedly their magnum opus, you know, their best album of the two. But you'll see how I voted in a little bit. But
yeah, and I agree with that. Spilt Milk is the magnum opus for me. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see here. All right. So we're going to go track by track with, we'll start with the, I'll list the song by off of Belly Button first, which was their first album, and then go to the song by off of Spilt Milk. So off Belly Button, the first song is The Man I Used to Be.
Into battle, and in your shadow, your daddy loves you still. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Versus joining a fan club.
Okay.
So this was one of the ones that was really hard for me. It was like, oh, man, really? I love both of these songs a lot. And, you know, I've listened to these both of these albums probably 50 times at least. I just put them on and let them go. And, you know, I try not to listen to the lyrics because they'll bring me down. But
my daddy loves you still.
Yeah.
Okay, go
ahead. I'm going to go. My vote goes to joining a fan club.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I went back and forth on this one because it was a super hard one for me. And I had to listen to both songs back to back and say, which one do I like more? And I almost did that, but I voted for the man I used to be. So
all right.
We cancel each other, though. So it cancels out. So there's no point for Belly Button. Yep. Or we have to agree on the album. So nothing.
So the first song does not go to either album.
No. Nope.
All right. The next one. Off of Belly Button, the song is That Is Why.
That is why. I've been fighting you the truth this time.
And off of Spilt Milk, it's Sabrina, Paste, and Play-Doh.
Mm-hmm.
My vote goes to Sabrina, Paste, and Play-Doh because the chorus is so catchy and just such a great song. That's not to say I don't like That Is Why either. This is another one that's like, oh my gosh, really?
That Is Why is great, but Sabrina, Paste, and Play-Doh is amazing. We agree on that one.
All right, there we go.
So one vote for Spilt Milk.
Spilt Milk has one. All right, song number three. Off of Belly Button is the song The King Is Half Undressed.
I know it's hard for you to see what lies behind the mystery. It was good speak that made me bless. When the king is half undressed.
And off of Spilt Milk is New Mistake.
You better catch me when I fall.
Another one I was like, damn it. I listened to both songs back and forth and I had to go with New Mistake. Though I love The King Is Half Undressed also, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I think
New Mistake just does it for me.
Well, New Mistake gets my vote because it's my favorite Jellyfish song.
Okay, there you go.
It is unbelievable. But again, The King Is Half Undressed is pretty damn good as well, which I believe is also a video and a single. So
yeah,
that's two for Spilt Milk. Zero, man, for Belly Button.
Man, and two is a big lead. All right, song number four off of Belly Button is I Wanna Stay Home.
I wanna stay home. I wanna stay home right here. I wanna stay home today.
Versus Glutton of Sympathy.
'Cause I see.
And once again, it's like,
yeah,
you know, which do you pick? But I Want to Stay Home is one of my favorite songs by Jellyfish. I love the chorus. I love the melody. So that gets my vote.
Yeah, that's another one I struggle with. I had to listen to songs back to back. But I went with Gluttonous Sympathy. Sorry.
Nah, hey, whatever. That's a great song. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And that's this whole thing, all of these, if you pick the other song, like, hey, I get it.
And I Want to Stay Home is fantastic. It's brutally tough. But, yeah, so far, out of the first four songs, I voted for Spilt Milk was 3 out of 4. So,
yep.
But that might change here pretty shortly.
Okay, so song number 5 off of Belly Button is She Still Loves Him.
He writes her a letter, tells her he won't build soon.
She still loves him.
He lost his temper and belted his love across the room.
She still loves him.
Which is a great song, of course. And Ghost at number 1.
I know what I voted for.
I went with Ghost at number 1, but
I agree.
Like, which kid do you love most?
Yeah, Ghost at number 1 for me as well. See, so right now for me, Spilt Milk is dominating.
Spilt Milk has 3 votes now, so
and
I don't know if Belly Button's going to make a surge at the end here, but we'll see.
Oh, I think they will.
I believe so too. At least in my voting. Okay, so the song number, what are we up to? 6.
6.
Off of Belly Button is All I Want Is Everything.
The Ferrari on my 16th birthday will get you anything you need. But what I need from you is so much more.
Versus Bye Bye Bye.
They both think back too long ago when thoughts of them both growing old had given them the gray hair they deserve. Singing bye 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 bye. Well, I've come to take you home.
And it's not the
NSYNC song.
NSYNC version.
No.
Not the same song at all.
Because if it was the NSYNC version, All I Want Is Everything gets my vote.
Well, All I Want Is Everything gets my vote in this case. Though, again, if you pick Bye Bye Bye, I get it.
And I did. Yeah, I went back and forth on that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oftentimes, I will have, you know, in my little iPod thing, and I will put it on Jellyfish and I will just shuffle them all together and they fit together perfectly.
That's what I do too. If you ask me what album any of these songs are on, I'd be like, I have no idea, because I just shuffle them all usually. All right, so
number seven.
Now She Knows She's Wrong. Versus All Is Forgiven.
What says is his, 'cause everything is forgiven, forgiven. Though we soured the milk of human kindness, all is forgiven, all is forgiven.
Both of these songs are fantastic. But I had to go with All Is Forgiven just because Now She Knows She's Wrong is just kind of, you picked the other one, right?
I did. Now She Knows She's Wrong is what I picked. Sorry.
Hey, whatever. I love that song too. So,
yeah, so
whatever.
That's a cancel out votes or no points. So I don't think Belly Button's going to vote yet, do they?
Nope.
So it's a runaway, but we got 11 tracks here.
Yeah, we got 4 more to go, so let's see. I don't know.
Okay.
Song number 8 here. I have Bedspring Kiss off of Belly Button.
Counting the words between his every line, searching miles and miles to define just what it all means.
and Russian Hill. I had no problem with this one, though. Bed Spring Kiss is one of my favorite songs. I love that. So Russian Hill isn't a bad song, but I just love Bed Spring Kiss.
I struggled with this one. This was the hardest one for me because both of these songs are slow, but they're odd. Bed Spring Kiss almost has like a calypso shuffle to it. Samba, something like that. Yeah. So it's a different kind of beat. But Russian Hill is kind of the same speed, but they're both really great songs. So I voted for Russian Hill.
Oh, man. Man, that was a chance for Belly Button to get a vote.
I know, and I love Bed Spring Kiss. It's so good.
All right, so song number 9 here.
Here's where I think we're going to get a vote for Belly Button. Okay.
Well, Baby's Coming Back off of Belly Button.
Baby's coming back, baby's coming back, so I'm on my best behavior. I can't take it anymore, I just woke up on the floor today, yeah. I've long gone out of my last chances, but she's on the way.
Versus He's My Best Friend. Which Baby's Coming Back is one of my favorite songs of any band, not just Jellyfish. I love that song. So that got my vote.
Yeah, I like He's My Best Friend, but I had to go with Baby's Coming Back. Monster song.
That's one of the ones I didn't have to listen to. I mean, I listened to He's My Best Friend, but I had already voted for Baby's Coming Back because I know that's...
Yeah, I didn't struggle 1 second with that.
Yeah. And I'm kind of the same with the next song, Calling Sarah. Versus Too Much, Too Little, Too Late.
Crashing against the drunken waters of this world. When I hesitate, because all I can say is too much, too little, too late.
Me as well.
Calling Sarah is so awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of odd that if you really think about it, Baby's Coming Back and Calling Sarah really should have started the album.
Yeah.
Because I think they're stronger than The Man I Used to Be, which is a great song, but it's a weird first song.
Well, I think that may be kind of what they're going for with the, you know, being kind of weird and quirky.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you listen to the, just listen to the melodies and, oh, man, they're so good. But the harmonies.
Yeah. But lots of times, bands will put their lead single as their first song in an album, which was Baby's Coming Back.
Right.
You want to grab them, and you got them. The Man I Used to Be is a great song, but it's one of those ones you slowly get into, and then it grabs you at the end.
Right.
Yeah, so we got two votes now for Belly Button.
Two for Belly Button. And now, the last one, Calling Sarah is actually the last song on the release, and they had a bonus track of the Badfinger song, No Matter What.
No matter what you are, I will always be with you. Doesn't matter what you do, girl. Ooh, girl, want you.
And there's a bunch of live versions of Jellyfish doing this out there. And then off of Spilt Milk, the last song is Brighter Day.
Shot to hear somebody say, it's time to join the
had to go with Brighter Day because they didn't really add anything to No Matter What. It's almost the same version as Badfinger. And they didn't, if they put more of a Jellyfish twist on it, then I'd be more interested in it. I mean, I'm not to say it's a bad version, but Brighter Day is a really good song. So I just went with that one.
Well, we disagree. I think Brighter Day is a decent song, but I think it's one of the weakest songs that Jellyfish ever did. And No Matter What, I think everybody who's covered it pretty much keeps it the Badfinger way. Nobody really changes it too much because it's just a great song. And even, what was it, Lillian Axe did it.
Didn't Paul McCartney give it to them and say, do it like this and don't change it? Because I know they were on Apple Records.
I don't know if he didn't write it, though, did he? No.
I thought he did. I thought he wrote it and gave it to him.
No, I think it's the song before. No, I don't. I think, no, he didn't write it, but he was involved in Apple. Of course, Apple.
Yeah.
I believe it's the single before that Paul McCartney kind of wrote. Not sure, but I'm not a Badfinger expert.
But no?
No, not at all. But no, I don't think Paul McCartney has anything to do with it. But yeah, it's a classic. Everybody knows that song.
Oh yeah.
But so now that we've done the 11 tracks, how many did Spilt Milk get, and how many did
Spilt Milk got? 3, where Belly Button got 2.
So it was close.
Very close. Closer than I would have thought.
And then we struggled and we voted again. We canceled each other out more votes. We got 5 votes that we agreed and 6 that we didn't. So yeah. What does that tell you? I mean,
yeah,
great songs.
Yeah, I had, in just my votes, I had Spilt Milk getting 6 and Belly Button getting 5.
So did I. Same way. And most of the Spilt Milk songs, except for the first one, I voted for all the Spilt Milk songs. And then towards the end, Belly Button got stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, with Babies Coming Back and Calling Sarah.
See, if I did this another day, Bedspring Kiss would get the vote over Russian Hill. But when I did this, Russian Hill got the vote.
Yeah.
So it could have been 3-3 if I'd have voted for Bedspring Kiss. And maybe I'm second-guessing myself. So who knows? But I can't. It's part of the bit we made, that we birthed. So
that's right.
Yeah. So.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah. Hopefully, you guys hearing some of these clips will be turned on to these guys and check them out because they're really special. Everybody missed the boat on these guys, and then they got so fed up with the music industry they broke up, which is a shame because there's a lot of talent there.
I'd also heard that the lead singer was getting tired of being the front guy of the band, and not just live. He didn't want to be the business guy and wanted the others to take charge of it. But
Andy Stromer.
Yeah, I think he just wanted to be out of it. And he's been doing a lot of other stuff where...
he writes for cartoons.
Yeah.
On Nickelodeon and stuff like that. So, yeah, he's got a paying gig in music, but he's just not on stage. And he was the front man, and he wrote most of the songs with Roger Manning.
Ryan, yeah.
Yeah, but he was the front man drummer. A stand-up drummer, which was odd to see.
Yeah, you guys, check out some videos of him. It's really weird to see all 4 guys standing across the front of the stage and then playing the albums. Like, you would think they're just playing the album, but it's unreal how good they sound.
Yeah, I think it's the first time I've seen a stand-up drummer. He's got a little small kit, and he's singing lead and standing up and playing drums.
It's not really a kit. It's a snare and a bass drum and a cymbal.
Yeah.
And a hi-hat.
It sounds great.
Yeah.
It works. Now I want to go see them live. I mean, there's a couple of concerts from Germany of them playing full live concerts. There's at least 2 of them. Both versions of the band, because the first album is a different bass player and a different guitarist, Jason. His name escapes me. What's the guitarist's name? Jason what? Do you remember?
Jason.
Oh, we forgot.
No, I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Yeah, and Roger Manning's brother was the bass player. Then the Spilt Milk version is, oh my God, I'm bad. We don't have our computers. We're not reading this, so we're just doing it off the top of our head. Eric Dobro took over as guitarist, and Tim, what's his name? The bass player.
Oh, Tim.
Tim Smith.
Yeah.
The easiest name in the English language, and I couldn't think of it. Yeah. So that has two different versions of the band. The core songwriters were in both of them. That's why they're so similar.
Yeah.
But Special Stuff, fantastic.
But I don't think Eric Dover was on the last album, though.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Was he? I thought he came in after.
No, he was part of it. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that he wrote and recorded all that stuff.
Hmm.
Then again, we're not super experts, so maybe some Jellyfish super experts can straighten our asses out. I don't know.
Yeah. And some Badfinger experts, because I think No Matter What was Paul McCartney.
Oh, you do you?
I do.
Yeah. I'm getting tired. I worked all day. So I'll look them up at a later time. So I'm glad you guys could join us for this. And like I said, we're recording it and putting it out the same day. So Danny.
Yeah, so go check out some Jellyfish.
Yeah.
You won't be sorry.
So what are you going to watch on TV? Oh, you're going to watch the Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Eli and Peyton.
Okay.
They're hilarious.
I might catch it now that you've... Did you watch the Squid Game yet?
Yeah.
Loved it. What about you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I liked it a lot. You know, everybody talking about how disturbing it was. It wasn't really that disturbing.
Yeah, I think it was fan... It wasn't that disturbing for me. Oh, it's so violent. No, I've seen a lot worse.
Oh, yeah. People getting shot. Okay, yeah, that happens a lot in movies.
I think I was surprised at how well written it was.
Yeah.
And I like the little twists and turns in here. It was really well done. And it's like the most popular series in Netflix history.
Yeah.
We
had some friends of ours, their daughter told them to watch it. And they said, nah, we're not going to. But I went ahead and watched it. Great. Very entertaining.
Yeah. Can't wait for the second season now.
Oh, yeah. You know they had to the way it ended. There's no chance.
Oh, absolutely. They're already promoting it.
Yeah.
It's going to be monstrous. Some people didn't like the ending of the first season. I thought it was pretty cool. I was surprised. Some of those twists and turns. I'm not going to tell you what they are. So if you're one of the few people who haven't seen it, we highly recommend it.
Yeah, go check it out. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And on that note, I'm going to eat dinner, and Danny's going to watch Monday Night Football.
Since there's no World Series on tonight.
Yeah.
Go Astros.
Oh, I thought you were going for the Braves.
Nah, as a Phillies fan, I can't root for somebody in their own division.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we used to be an Astros fan when I was a kid. Now I don't really care anymore.
As long as it's not the Dodgers, right?
Or the Yankees. Yeah, anybody but those two teams.
Yeah.
So, Danny, how about you have a great night?
Don't tell me what to do.
Okay, fine. I won't.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. See ya.
All right. Bye.